Psalms 24 and 6 states a blessed truth. And I announce the truth and then read the text. Listen to the statement about which I wish to preach. All, without exception, who are called of God to salvation, are called to become seekers of God. Salvation in its beginning, in its process, and its continuance is a seeking of God. Every Christian became a seeker of God and is still seeking. Baptists somehow have missed it in our doctrine. We filled our churches full of people that are depending on the experience they had years ago for salvation. Anybody who's trusting an experience is lost. Did you get that? People say to me, "Brother Bonham, let me tell you about my experience." And I keep my mouth shut and say, "I got to listen to another old unsaved church member talk." I ran into some people not long ago who can tell whether or not you're a Christian or not. They said, "Brother Barnard, tell me how God saved you." I said, "I don't have the slightest idea." You don't either. And I think it's permissible to talk about the Lord saving us for the first 2-3 days of our life after we've met him. But then we ought to cut out foolishness and go to talking about the Lord, our Savior. He's so much more blessed than anything he could do for us. Psalms 24:6 says, "This is the generation of them that seek him." That's God's crowd. That seek his face. If I speak to a Christian tonight, you're hungry and thirsty, more hungry today in your life than ever you have experienced. There's a seeking in your soul for reality in Christ Jesus as you never knew it. And the fatal thing about professing Christianity today is the people are not seeking God. I can go to any Baptist church in Charlotte, and in a week's time, if they'll turn me loose and just turn the word loose, I'll have half the crowd saying, "Well, I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved. I don't care what that preacher said. I remember when." Well, who cares what you remember? It's not when, it's who. This generation brags about being saved, but doesn't seem to be acquainted with the Savior. And there is no seeking of God. As long as our churches are content to not do anything about it and not face that problem, and as long as our churches are full of people who are not seeking God themselves, we need to look anywhere else except the mirror to find out why what we call the unsaved are not seeking it. You're not hungry for God. What are you mad somebody else he's not for? If you've got what's called salvation now and do not have daily fellowship with the Savior, you're not to be bothered about folks that don't claim either. There's a relation between hungry Christians and seeking sinners. Isn't that right? And at our peril, we ignore that. The absence of seeking God is the tragedy of this hour. This is the day of presumption. Men presume that they're all right. Any Christian is the first to admit that he's all wrong. The more you taste of Christ, the less dependence you have in your tears or your prayers or your zeal or your anything else. That's the God's truth. And today we have a brand of Christianity that preaches about the Lord having saved them. Doesn't cherish the glory of walking in holy fellowship with a living Christ. In other words, we Baptists have preached that salvation's in the death of Christ when the Bible says that salvation is in Christ. And thus we're going to hell believing a fact. But the devil believed that before we were born. Christ Jesus didn't make a propitiatory offering. He is that which satisfies God. And no man is a Christian who isn't married in holy bonds of wedlock to the Lord Jesus Christ. And no man is a Christian who isn't head over heels in love with the eternal lover of your soul. Oh, my soul, how hungry this hitchhike evangelist gets to find somebody who just wants him. Not so much what he has. Him. This half-baked cake that's turned on one side, get saved, get baptized, be done, go on to hell brand of religion, won't square with the Scripture. We preach as it's sight on God's earth. We're so ashamed of the truth. After get preaching, we have everybody bow their heads and we say, now, everybody close your eyes. Don't anybody peek now. Everybody got their eyes closed? We don't want this to get out. Anybody here wants to be saved, lift your hand, put it right down. We're not going to embarrass you. Ain't that something? Ain't that something? No, this thing got to come in out the open. And men are going to have to become avowed seekers if they ever become true finders. The happiest thing could happen to somebody here tonight that you go away from here having told everybody in this congregation, I want you to look at me. As an old hell-bound, hell-deserving sinner, I want you to look at me. I'm going to seek God. Amen. If you got time, have any inclination, be much obliged to pray for me. Whether you pray for me or not, bless God, I'm going to seek the Lord. Amen. I don't care if the devil knows. Kind of hope he does. Need to bow your head and close your eyes. The Lord died right publicly.
Amen.
I want to become a seeker. And I want everybody in Charlotte to know Bill Jones wants to come to know God. That's what I long to see. And I look men and women in the face today when we got methods and tricks and cut the corners and perverted the gospel to get results. Now we got them about to tear us to pieces. And I say unto God, beloved, we ought not settle for anything else. I'd love to hear one old sinner calling on God. Huh? I said all over America, Canada, New Mexico, if we get one person really saved in our churches, it'd just make the rest of us ashamed of ourselves. I don't know what we'd do. This is the generation of them that seek the Lord. Them that seek my face. What is salvation? It's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what is faith? The best definition in the Bible of faith is Paul's definition. I know whom I have believed. See, this generation of people have believed in somebody they don't know. That's your decision business, my preacher brother. You trying to get men to decide to trust somebody they haven't the slightest knowledge of. You wouldn't ask anybody to put the money in a bank that didn't know anything about it. But the first element in saving faith is to come to know about Jesus, and you know about him in this world. It's amazing how many people we've got today that are trusting Jesus as Savior, but won't go to school to him as their teacher. And so we violate every teaching that he gives us, in spite of the fact that we're to teach them to observe all things whatsoever things that I've commanded you. And the only gospel, the first gospel invitation in the New Testament, the Lord said, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, come unto me, and I'll rest you. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. But we haven't got time. We just say, you want to be saved? Come on now. The Lord said, if you come, he'll save you. He did say no such thing. He said, if you come to him in the right way, wanting what he's got. But he's got a yoke to put on you. And if you don't want to take his yoke, ain't no use you going through the motion. And he's got a school for you to join. And a curriculum for you to study. And a man isn't a Christian who isn't going to school to Jesus. And a man isn't a Christian who hadn't accepted the Lordship of Christ in his mind and all his soul. The invitation of my Lord, and I must not break it down, is instead of all the bitterness and uproar and laboring and weariness, he'll give you rest. That's confidence. That's some justification. But he'll put his yoke on you, and he'll be the supreme dictator of your life. And he'll start you in the school of King Jesus. That's right. And if you don't want to go to school to Christ, if you don't want him to reign over your life, ain't a bit of use on God's earth. You going through the motions and calling yourself a Christian. You can't cut Jesus up. It's all or none. Isn't that right? Well, who wants anybody to rule over? This lawless generation in the church tonight. Honey, if you want to go see Grandma next Sunday, you'll go and you'll say, the hell with what the Bible says. I'm saved by grace, and back to say once saved, always saved. Don't say that. But we heard somebody say it. The Bible doesn't say once saved, always saved. The Bible says he that continueth to the end, the same shall be saved. That ain't the security of the believer. That's the perseverance of the saints. That's what it is. That's right. And I can't be lost. Some people take the glorious doctrine of election and say, well, I'm elected and I can't go to hell unless go raise some hell. But they'll spend eternity in hell for perverting the gospel of God's saving grace. Now listen to Brother Barnes. Listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me. It's high time we quit claiming to be learners of Christ unless we buy us a Bible and start paying a little attention to what it says. I'm so sick and tired of a Bibleless generation of Baptists. You don't open your Bible enough to find out how to turn the leaves. Or if you do, you turn to a few favorite passages of Scripture. And this generation is the most ignorant group of people God ever had to put his frown on about what Jesus teaches. This world is turning against the claims of Christians because we ourselves have refused to bring every thought and everything about us under subjection to the Lordship of him who is appointed Lord in virtue of his death and to whom God's given everything. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, if Jesus is the appointed and anointed Lord, if he's the only Savior, if he's the only person that ever told us the truth for all that the apostles taught, the germ of it was given by him. If he's the only teacher you can afford to listen to, if he's the only Lord you can afford to bow to, if he's the only Savior you can afford to depend upon, under God, he's worth seeking.
Amen.
He's worth seeking. He's worth seeking. Salvation is faith in him. And faith in him is knowledge of him. And faith in him is confidence in him. You got any confidence in Christ? Did you have what to call a religious experience? If you met somebody and the longer you know him, the more your confidence grows in him. Will he do to ride the river with? Is it all a joke that he's alive? Is that a theory of church people, or is that the truth of God? Have you found him an ever-present help in time of trouble? God knows. It's high time we quit preaching a dead theory and proclaim a living Christ. And if he's alive under God, you a fool. If you do not press toward a conscious union of peace with him, to where he speaks to you as truly as it did a woman when he was here, go thy way. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Have you heard the voice of Jesus say? Huh? Is it real?
Amen.
Is it real? Now, folks can trust the fact without seeking the Lord. And men can make it the Savior and be honest about it without seeking the Lord. But you'll never be joined to the Lord until he becomes the object of a search. And until he himself and you yourself have a meeting, you're the sinner.
Amen.
And he's the Savior. That's right.
That's right.
That's right. There isn't but one thing Christianity's got that the other religions haven't got. And by the way, the old religions are having tremendous revival now. And they're fighting back. God only knows how much longer we'll be able to send missionaries anywhere. I don't know. But this book tells us about a living. Muhammad's dead. Buddha's dead. Moses is dead. But this book says he's alive. And salvation is in the living Christ who died. Salvation doesn't come to anybody apart from being married to, being united to, being joined to the living Christ.
Amen.
Men need to seek for that. The Bible invites men to seek. Turn to the Old Testament. In the day thou shalt seek me with all thine heart, I shall surely be found of thee. Turn to the New Testament, the conference in Jerusalem, the first church council, that the residue of men might seek after me. Listen to the Apostle Paul preach on Mars Hill, that men might seek after the Lord, if haply they might find him, though he be not far from any of us. This is the generation of them that seek the Lord. Hear me? That faith that does not have as its heart a seeking to a knowledge of the living God in Christ is presumption and is not saving faith. For saving faith includes knowledge. Saving faith includes confidence. Saving faith includes committal. Paul said, I know whom I believe. It don't make so much difference what you believe, it's who you believe. It's who you believe. Oh, Paul said, I know whom I believe. I believe God. And I'm persuaded. I got confidence in him. Praise God.
Praise God. I'm persuaded. There wasn't any room for what they call this backsliding business there. Old Paul said, I'm persuaded today. Praise the Lord. That he's able to do what? To keep something that I've committed unto him. Saving faith is a committal then, isn't it? Lock, stock, and barrel. We join to Christ. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek my face. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Righteousness is not an attribute of God. Righteousness is Christ. The Old Testament demanded a righteousness of you. The New Testament talks about God's righteousness. It's Christ. It's Christ. It's Christ. It's Christ. It's Christ. God bless your heart. Adam was clothed upon. Huh? Adam was clothed upon and restored to fellowship. He walked with God. He sinned. He hid. God killed an animal. The blood was shed. The clothing he used to clothe Adam. Once again he walked with a king. God bless your heart. You know, the Savior, Brother Don, is so much better than salvation. If you could do it. I wish you'd quit talking about when the Lord saved you and talk about a blessed living Savior whom you walk with today. That yonder you got a taste of it. Maybe you hunger. And the more you get fed, the hungrier you get, praise God. And after a while, you can say with Paul, I'm a-doing everything I know that I may win Christ. I got a taste of him. I want the whole thing. You see, a church is a church if Christ manifests himself. Churches today manifest ourselves. And your old manifestation stinks. And I doubt if there's a person here tonight that can truthfully tell me any of your next door neighbors or your immediate families are under conviction of sin because they've seen Christ in you. Everything they say about you stinks. It's dirty. It's filth. It's filth. Men and women become like Christ by fellowship with him and participation in him and by walking with him. That's the way we're changed. As in an air from glory to glory into the very image of Christ. And the crying need of this hour is some men and women who are hot after God. I glory in the Pentecostal people. I don't like some of the doctrine, but I like some of them. I like one thing they do. They say a man ought to seek God. I believe that's right. I'm so tired of the fact as we walked down the aisle and we shook the preacher's hand. He ducked us before we could escape and put our names on the roll. And we haven't had no use for Jesus since. I'll tell you that in salvation. Salvation is the tasting of him and how sweet he is. Salvation is a coming to him once and then a coming to him every day. Oh, brethren, don't get mad at the preacher. Us Christians, if there are any of us today, we rattle. It sounds like the old oil in the crankcase is just about turned into water. Our testimonies are so shallow they must make the devil laugh. And our witness, the sinners don't pay no more attention to us if we weren't in town. When will we ever face the fact that our only hope to represent Christ is to have him manifest himself in us? Isn't that right? We are traitors to him whom we say we love. If we do not quit being satisfied, being church members and professors,
if we do not press on.
After having Christ to be formed in us, the hope of glory. God help us. I wish I could see people seeking the Lord. Are you mad at me? Where shall we seek the Lord? Three places. First, in supreme desire. Jeremiah 29:13, in the day thou shalt seek me with all thine heart. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to Brother Barnes. In this day of confusing, deciding for Christ with being born again and united to Christ, here, Brother Barnes, any unsaved man can make a decision to believe in Christ. But salvation is not by decision. Salvation by revelation.
Amen.
Salvation is Christ made real to you.
Amen.
In the Word through the Holy Spirit. God help you, don't get mad at me. Don't let me lose you here now. Decision is important, but it ain't worth a dime unless it's response to revelation. And I'm telling you that unless the Holy Spirit is pleased to make Christ real to you in the message of this book, until he's real to you, and you do not trust the vacuum, but you trust a revealed Christ, God help you, you're going to go to hell.
Amen.
When he, through a miracle, is revealed to you, mama can't do it for you. Why, of course, with Paul, you'll say, Lord, that settles it. What do you have me to do? That's decision. Isn't that right?
Amen.
But Paul had to find out who Jesus was. And mama can't tell you who Jesus is. And I can't tell you who Jesus is. And unless you make up your mind, you're going to find out who he is. Get you a Bible and start searching it and say, oh, God, show me myself and show me thyself.
Amen.
You're just going to make a decision and live the kind of lives that 95% of the people who make decisions today go on and live. I wonder if I've lost you. Am I wrong? Well, you say, well, what you preaching, Brother Barnes, fellow can't get saved unless God works a miracle. That's right.
Amen.
Can't get saved unless God works a miracle. And how does he work it? Not apart from this book.
That's right.
Not apart from this book. Jesus Christ is revealed by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In the gospel.
Amen.
In this book. A dear preacher brother said to me today, he said, Brother Barnes, what do you do about a fellow you know is saved, and yet he goes away and lives a terrible life? I said, in the first place, you don't know he's saved. I don't know whether anybody else is saved or not. That's between me and the Lord. I know nothing about you. I just don't know. I can have my opinion. I don't know whether it's worth a dime or a quarter. But I don't know. This is a transaction. It involves you and God. It's the God's truth. It's the God's truth. You hear me? You hear me? Either Christ is all in all, he's not worth seeking. Either he's what he claims to be, or he's a devil. But you'll never find him until he becomes the object of a search that will not be denied.
Amen.
You say, how long will it take? maybe that long, or maybe 40 years, I don't know nothing about that. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. In the day thou shalt seek me with all thine heart. Don't you ever figure it out that the Lord worked on you a certain way and he's going to work on somebody else. No, no. No, no. Don't you try to hem up a sovereign God. He'll work as he pleases. But brother, there'll be a seeking there. And listen to Brother Barnett. There won't be simply a seeking to keep out of hell. There won't simply be a seeking to be able to say, well, I feel better. There'll be a seeking of him. A seeking of him. The tragedy of this hour is people that seem to want what he has, but don't want him. Where shall men and women seek the Lord? Listen to Brother Barnard as I say something that I don't know how to talk about. I mention it in passing, but it's a needed note. Seeking prostrate at the feet of a sovereign God.
Amen.
Oh, don't listen to any preacher who puts you up and God down. Don't listen to any preacher that gives you the power to turn God on or off. I can't explain it, but sinner, God is God. He's very God. And he alone can save you. The only way under God's shining sun to approach him is as a bankrupt beggar. In God's name! Don't you listen to anybody bragging on how the power of your old will. Some of us have lost a lot of confidence in our wills. We like to have gone to hell doing what we thought. I'm telling you right now, brother, we are in the hands of God. And the best place I know for an old sinner is to come down off his high horse and say, Lord, I just got one thing to recommend me. I'm plumb slap dab broke. I'm bankrupt. Nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. You know, we've had theological debates, and this is not a Bible study, about the will of man. The Bible certainly teaches that men have a will. But if we just face the fact, the scriptures don't talk about the free will of man. They talk about the bondage of sin.
Amen.
Old sinners are just as free as they can be and just as bound by the cords of their own sin. Old sinner can do anything he wants to do, but the trouble is his wanderer is bound by sin. I ain't so proud of the will of men. Oh, I wish you'd quit talking about what you're going to do some of these days. And I wish you'd turn from depending on what at some future hour you're going to do. And just say, Lord, here I am, plumb broke, I'm bankrupt, thank God. I just cast myself at the mercy of the court. I don't know whether the old-time Baptist had right now, it's a little hard. But they used to say a man gets saved when he cast himself on the mercy of God and said, Lord, you can send me to hell or you can save me. Whatever you do, glory to your name. I know that take that enough, but it's hinting at the truth. I know one thing. That all this talk about God ought to give everybody a chance is blasphemous. I know all this talk about God ought to do so-and-so is blasphemous. I'll tell you the most blasphemous thing that ever occurred to the perverted hearts of fallen men was the idea that God owed salvation to anybody. For if he owed salvation to anybody, he owed the death of Jesus Christ to sinful men. And even God couldn't be that low down. Oh, my soul, the only way on earth to do business with God is as a poor, needy, bankrupt sinner, utterly in the hands of a God who must do right and who may show mercy. Where shall a sinner seek the Lord? Listen to me carefully, this last word. The publican went up to the temple to pray. He prayed the way they were taught then. How shall you seek him? Where? Listen to Brother Barnum. Listen. The only way on earth that God can enter your life and heart is through the merits of the blood of Christ at Calvary. Listen to Brother Barnett's sin. You'll never be saved if you just believe Jesus died for you. That's not the way to be saved. You'll never be saved by saying he died for sinners and I'm a sinner and I believe he died for me. That's not it. But you'll never be saved unless believing that Christ died for sinners and unless accepting God's testimony that you are a sinner, believing that, standing on that, listen to me, seek him until there is a conscious union of peace formed in your soul. Listen to Brother Barnum. Abraham sought at an altar, but he sought God at an altar. Abel came to an altar, but he was looking for God through the altar. The publican cried, I need something to be done so that peace can be established between me and God. Be thou propitiated me. Hell's full of people who are as orthodox as all get out. I believe Jesus died for me, but there's no salvation there. I believe Jesus died for sinners, but there's no salvation there. I believe I'm a sinner. I'm trusting Jesus. You don't know nothing about him. Press through, standing on the blood of Jesus, depending on it, trusting in it, believing it, pleading it, but don't call yourself saved until God speaks to your soul and says, sinner, go thy way. Huh? Is that wrong?
That's wrong.
Brother Dunn, I believe in personal work, but there comes a time when the personal worker has to just stand there and watch.
Amen.
And our Baptist church is full of people that have believed the verse of Scripture. Don't you believe that? Yeah. Well, what does that say? Well, so on. Well, that means God saved you. Well, I don't know, does it? Yeah. And hell's full of people now that let somebody else assure them that they had come into a conscious union with Jesus Christ. Listen to me. I know I'm right, beloved. I'm not standing on the outside of the church and throwing stones at it. I'm inside. All we got left is our little churches, big or little, whatever they are. I believe the church has been wiped off the face of the map. It wasn't divine. I believe God's going to use us yet. But I know what I'm talking about. That hell's full of orthodox people who believe every creed of the gospel that they've never been joined to Jesus.
Amen.
And I know that salvation's in him. He that hath the Son hath life.
Amen.
And I don't want you to have to get your mother to assure you that you and Jesus Christ have merit. And I want you to quit doing business with me or anybody else and do business with the living God. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. Where shall I seek him? In the proper way, pleading the blood of Jesus Christ, but not stopping and trusting a fact, but standing on faith in that fact, seeking a union with the Lord Jesus Christ. May I close by saying this. Adam was a living soul. Christ has been made a life-giving spirit as he joined himself to you. I in you, and you in me. A daily, vital, obedient, vivid, real union between you and the Lord Jesus Christ. I was over here at Jacksonville, North Carolina, night after night, as we'd stand, I'd say, is there somebody here that greatly desires to be united to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, so that you can say, although I've never seen him with these eyes, I love him, I know him, I walk with him, and he walks with me. He's real. He's real. And among others, a young man would lift his hand before I could get through every night. And I'd say, as I sometimes do when we've got time, not in a hurry, to pray and plow and pray for God's Spirit to work, I'd say, go home and get alone with the Bible and God. No man will ever be saved until he and God do business. A sinner will trust you, Pastor, for we will Christ. A sinner will say, well, Brother Rabin, you pray for him. I'm going to go home so asleep. But it's got to get a little more serious that with you, my dear brother. And a great need of the hour is to orphan sinners to where they feel their need of God. And I'd say, go home, maybe on your knees, for the only way to study the Bible is on your knees. And ask God's Spirit to make Christ real to your poor old wounded heart. Night after night, he'd do that. One night, I beat him out and was waiting on the front porch. And I said, young man, every night you lift your hand. I said, you're doing what I tell you to do? He said, no, sir. I said, why not? He said, I ain't got no Bible. Turned out he did odd chores at an old folks' home 4 miles down the road for his boarding room. And he walked 4 miles to and from every night. Heard me preach. Didn't have a Bible. And I said, you really mean business? He said, I sure do preach it. But I said, I ain't got no Bible. I ain't been able to do what you say. Well, I said, yeah, mine. You take it and go home. Tomorrow night, we'll bring you one. I said, suppose you come up a little early tomorrow night. Maybe we can talk with him. He said, well, what time? I said, we'll be there half an hour before preaching starts. He said, I'll be there. And the pastor told him about it, and so I drove up, and we got there in plenty of time. The boys there waiting. And I said, well, let's go down to the basement so the people coming in won't bother us. And we sat there, and I was trying to be nice, you know. Wanted to be helpful, and I said, now, son, suppose you tell me a little something about what's going on. Maybe I can help. He said, don't need no help, preacher. I said, well, I don't understand. I'd be glad to help you if I knew how to do it. He said, don't need no help. Said, the Lord done what I needed done. He said, I did what you told me to do. And God did what you told me he'd do. Oh, my soul. You need the Lord. You can't have his benefits without him. Is he precious to anybody here tonight? Is he? Is he precious? Is he precious? The Lord Jesus Christ. This isn't a fairy tale. He's alive. He lives. He's precious.